He met the Castro brothers from Havana. Together, they all sailed in the Granma. They organized, fought, and overthrew Batista, just as they meant to do. Together with the Cuban people, he helped build a new society. He spent his life in struggle for a free America. Comandante Che Guevara. Soon enough he had to go, join the battle to overthrow the government as history would steer. Brought the Nazis to the hemisphere. Che died in the jungle after being caught. He didn't die for naught. He spent his life in struggle for a free America. Comandante Che Guevara. He spent his life in struggle for a free America. Comandante Che Guevara.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, what a sorry state is the law of this land, Canada, in. You need look no further than bills rammed through Parliament under the summer recess wire by the nascent Carney majority government to chart the downward path of jurisprudence here, a steep and precarious death spiral for the pillars of our democracy, freedom of speech, assembly, and association. Eve Angler is an activist journalist and the author of countless articles and essays detailing Canada's foreign policy history. He's written a dozen books on the subject, including Stand on Guard for Whom? A People's History of the Canadian Military, House of Mirrors, Justin Trudeau's Foreign Policy, Left Right, Marching to the Beat of Imperial Canada. His latest is Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy. Eve's website, eveangler.com, is replete with hundreds of essays detailing the cognitive dissonance laying between the proclaimed and demonstrable Canada, and it's where I found his recent article, Israeli Authoritarianism Rears Its Ugly Head in Toronto. Welcome back to the program, Eve.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always my pleasure. Naturally, Eve, who is Ahmad Hassan Hajjamad, and why was he arrested?
Well, he's a fairly prominent anti-genocide, anti-apartheid activist in Toronto. He's 33 and of Palestinian background. And he was arrested because our government supports genocide and is deeply anti-Palestinian. He was charged for verbally, it appears by all the different reports, verbally offering support for a group that Canada has listed as a terrorist organization, specifically Hamas. And the double standard here is completely off the charts. There is a power couple in Toronto, Heather Reisman and Jerry Schwartz, who have given about $200 million subsidized by all taxpayers to the Hesek Foundation for Lone Soldiers to have non-Israelis join the Israeli military. You have a school in Toronto where a quarter of graduates, according to a Canadian Jewish News article 2 years ago, a quarter of the graduates are joining the Israeli military. So the notion that someone is being charged under the Terrorism Act for providing some verbal support, I saw one of his speeches, even that is not clear that there's any verbal support for Hamas. But the claim that you're going to charge somebody for that, and it's a potentially up to 10 years in jail, while there is a slew of ways in which supporters of genocide and apartheid state are violating existing Canadian laws like the Foreign Enlistment Act, like the Income Tax Act with regards to charities supporting foreign militaries, the War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanity Act. There's been no investigation of this, according to the Israeli military. 1,500 Canadians that are Israeli soldiers. So many, many Canadians have killed, obviously, in Gaza. And yet somebody who is opposing genocide and apartheid is going to be targeted. It's an outrageous double standard. It goes to the heart of this question of this terrorism list, which is a post 9/11 civil liberties destroying list, but it's also exceedingly anti-Palestinian. And what's happened in recent times is actually it's being expanded, and now they're even putting Canadian-based groups like the Sami Doon Palestinian Political Prisoners Network, based in Vancouver, and now there's a push to get Palestine Action Canada. They're putting Canadian-based groups on this terrorism list, which is one step further in this violation of our civil liberties, probably won't even stand up when challenged with the charter. But as of yet, this is the trajectory, and this is a major escalation in the repression of the Toronto Police Service by going to the Terrorism Act. This is a police service in Toronto that is particularly anti-Palestinian, and that's been demonstrated in so many different instances.
Well, this smacks of what's happening in Britain with Palestine Action and how it was proscribed. But more worryingly, people that declared, even like on a little placard, you know, I like Palestine Action or something like this, are arrested under the provisions of their odious and draconian laws. There is Hajimad the first in Canada to be arrested for this so-called verbal support of a proscribed entity?
It appears to be the case. Again, there's the Toronto Police released certain information. And
there's a ban, like a publication ban.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not sure what that. Do you know what that means? I mean, does that mean that you and I talking about it could be subject to some kind of action, or is it just the Toronto Police Service saying, "Oh, well, I can't talk about a case in process" or something to that effect?
And that they can't release. They're implying they can't release other information. I actually see this as a part of the political repression. Is that they're trying to imply there's something more to it than just two speeches that he made.
Oh, so it's not a ban against us publicly.
No, it's not a ban against us talking about it. But it adds a layer to me, and I don't know that I can't say this with high level, you know. But it appears it just adds to the sort of political nature of all this. These are speeches. It's pointed out that go back 2 years.
Yeah, well, this is it. I was looking this up now. The original complaint was by an individual at one of these events. His name is Mark Sandler. He is with something called the Alliance of Canadians Combating Anti-Semitism, ALCCA, a group that was founded in 2024, right around the time that this speech by Hajimad was allegedly, his inflammatory speech was made. Sandler, I'm supposing, is one of those guys. We've been demonstrating here in Victoria every week since October 23 about the genocide going on. And there's these creepy guys with cameras, you know, that are obviously supporters of Israel for whoever they are, I don't know, videoing people. I'm assuming that that's what this Mark Sandler guy is one of these creeps with a camera that comes around to try to gain incriminating evidence. And he brought the complaint. It just says in the report I read in the Canadian Jewish News that it was him, not the organization, but he's with the organization. So I don't know, it's a little muddled there. That's kind of worrying, too, that guys will just go for a 2-year-old case. And is this a case of Hajimad being prosecuted for a crime, like a not a pre-crime, but a post-crime, something that wasn't a crime when he said it, but has become one now with this new legislation?
No, I don't think that's the case. They have bolstered the Terrorism Act by passing the so-called Combating Hate Act, or Bill C-9, and that does expand the odious nature of the terrorism list by meaning that if someone had a Sami Doon Palestinian Political Prisoners Network flag, and they were to fly that flag outside of some event where an Israeli general if it was at a synagogue or a community center where an Israeli general is speaking, they then get targeted under the new legislation that this is like, well, this would be hateful. And so you get, I don't know exactly how many years you could get in jail, but it's significant. No, what this is, from what I can tell, is they're also targeting him. So he has three, according to Globe and Mail report, he has lawsuits, civil defamation suits against Melissa Lantzman against B'nai B'rith, against Brian Lilly, the Toronto Sun columnist, and against, there was a fourth one, I can't remember who it is right now. So he has sued them for having claimed that he wore this vest, and they said he was a suicide bomber vest, and they defamed him, or he's claiming they defamed him. So he actually has suits against them, a number of prominent Toronto Zionist figures. So I don't know if this is in part like a repression, kind of like a, you know, we're going to put you back in your place for having dared to you know, launch civil suits. Because, again, this goes back to two speeches from, I think the latest one was September. I think one was May of 2024 and the other was September. I heard a minute and two minutes or so of from this hardline Zionist group, supposedly the most, the worst part of his speech at this demo. And there's nothing there. I mean, there's really nothing there. He seems to use the word something like our spokesperson. And what they're claiming is that he's saying our spokesperson, like the resistance, like a Hamas figure in Gaza. And I'm just like, are you serious? Like, there's a person being charged under the Terrorism Act for at a demonstration referring to our spokesperson, which is possibly referring to somebody in Gaza, possibly not. It's a little bit unclear. And this is what the hardline Zionists are like putting out there as the incriminating evidence against him. The police are saying we can't release other information because there's a publication ban. There's like a whole bunch of factors going in, so we can't be totally certain. But what we do know is there is a clear pattern here of the Toronto Police Service targeting. I mean, they did dawn raids for people putting up posters on an Indigo. It was 13 even, individuals had their houses raided in the middle, like at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, because there was poster saying say no to genocide or something to that effect at an Indigo bookstore. And they end up dropping most of these charges, right? They took like all these computers and everything from these people's houses and terrorized their families. And this was because of Heather Reisman having a conversation, two conversations with the head of the Toronto Police. So literally someone who's put $200 million of their family's money into assisting non-Israelis joining the Israeli military, complaining that people put up posters on an Indigo bookstore, which she owns, complaining about the fact she did that. And then she goes to the head of the Toronto Police, and this has all come out publicly. And then you have these pre-dawn raids, and then most of the charges all get dropped. There's like nothing there. Like, even if they were true, like, oh yeah, well, we put up posters on the window of a bookstore, which they were able to take down 30 minutes after, but just, using some water and some scrubbing materials. I mean, that's just one example. The whole expansion of the Project Resolute, which is just this target Palestinian. So in their press release, the Toronto Police use this charge as a justification for this expansion of their terrorism unit back in March, where they started giving like automatic weapons to cops on the street because apparently there's so much danger of terrorism in Toronto, and they sort of expand it. So they explicitly use this arrest to justify expanding, their budget and their like hardline, terrorism stuff. So every element of this, the terrorism list shouldn't exist. It shouldn't exist. If it is going to exist, there should be, the Israeli military. If there's going to be Palestinian groups on there, there needs to be a whole slew of Israeli groups on there, right? The terrorism list shouldn't exist. Then you start getting into like what we're discussing here, where all this criminality, contravening existing Canadian law in support of Israel, and there's no move by the Toronto Police, and then you got the situation where you're targeting an activist. It's an outrageous escalation of the Toronto Police's. And there's a very good story that goes into, published in Medium, I posted on my social media a couple of days ago, which just goes into all these examples. I mean, there's a woman in Ottawa who, for a whistle and for having a rubber ducky, Diana Sharif is her name, rubber ducky, watermelon rubber ducky, and she was like squeezing it. She ended up in jail for 10 months for this.
Those are annoying, though. You got to grant.
I completely agree. They are annoying. but and then you have these examples in Toronto where the guy who takes out the whatever gun, the work gun, shooting. Mm-hmm. And he
The nail
took the nail gun. The
and
nail
he
gun.
actually shot people with this
Yeah,
thing, one of
I
these
don't know if he ever
hydraulic.
killed, but he goes very close to it and he threatens to like kill everyone. I forget the exact wordings he used. And then there's the other example of the woman in the forklift who basically takes a forklift at protesters. They all get off of nothing. Nothing. There's you know, they end up going through some legal process. The guy who does all the guy from Honest Reporting Canada who does all the hate messages, whatever, kill everyone in Canada. I don't want to exactly put it in downtown Toronto, and he gets off with nothing. So all these examples of you know, these hardline Zionists doing, you know, actually violent things, and they get nothing. And then there's a story in Ottawa a couple of days ago where the guy at the CANSEC forum, where he punches, gets all videoed, punches a woman in a hijab, young woman in a hijab in the face. I think she knocks her over, says, "Yes, I'm racist," in response. And apparently there's another sort of assault he was in. He gets off with nothing. The judge, he finds him guilty, but just drops it all. He has no record. Even
this is the Swiss arms dealer guy who was at this fair, and she's out there going blah blah, you know, like peace and all that, and he drops her, but you know, and he's a big guy too.
And yeah, he's a former soldier, and you know, and so this is the pattern, right? Like it's just this so stark, the double standards at every different level. You know, at the big picture political level, with the terrorism list, with, you know, not applying our War Crimes Against Humanity Act, and over people who've been fighting in Gaza, over the charities, even though we're having some finally having some successes on the charities, still all kinds of outrageous funding in the charities domain, to the Genocide Act, even because counseling genocide is also a crime in Canada. And then to the, you know, the policing level, then to the judicial level, even when they get found guilty, when the Zionists get found guilty for different crimes, they just get off with almost nothing or literally nothing. And so, you know, it's just a part of how much our political culture, our institutions have enabled just the absolutely, you know, horrors in Gaza, which continue, not as extreme as they were for, you know, 2 years or so, but they continue. There's people killed every single day, basically, in Gaza by Israel. And they, you know, Israel controls 70% of the land. Obviously, it's still, you know, killing people in Lebanon. It's still occupying large swaths of Lebanon, obviously occupying big swaths of Syria. That goes back a long time, but including more recent, last year and a half or whatever, and obviously bombing Iran, you know, assassinating people in Qatar. I mean, and this is just part of the picture of you know, Canada's deeply pro-genocide political culture.
Yeah. Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Eve Angler. Eve's a activist journalist. He's the author of countless articles, essays detailing Canada's foreign policy history. His books include Stand on Guard for Whom? A People's History of the Canadian Military, House of Mirrors, Justin Trudeau's Foreign Policy. God, remember that guy? Left, Right, Marching to the Beat of Imperial Canada. We're speaking in and around his recent article at his website, eveangler.com. Israeli authoritarianism rears its ugly head in Toronto. Eve, yeah, when you talk about these the tax situation, in your article, you quote former Jewish Defense League head Meyer Weinstein as saying, in regards to the arrest of Haj Ahmad, Israel now calls on Canada Revenue Agency to investigate the charitable status of the Muslim Association of Canada. This because Haj Ahmad had given a speech for that organization. This is where you are guilty by association. And clearly it says to me that, yeah, this the tax status fight that you and others have been waging, and with some success, as you mentioned, is really starting to sting and lies behind some of these actions, or at least people like Meyer Weinstein would have it that way.
Yeah, I think well, there's a few parts to that. Like as wild as what Weinstein's saying there, that's actually kind of the basis of the listing of Sami Dune, right? The Sami Dune was listed on the grounds that their claim. No one says that Sami Dune like was engaged in any armed struggle, engaged in any sort of violence or whatever. All they say is that Sami Dune provided some support for the Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine. So they're like and some support is because it's all very a secret, and it's not a process of bringing it before the public and the judicial. It's just like secretly behind the scenes, the intelligence agencies come up with some assessment of Sami Dune's connections to PFLP. So as wild as what Weinstein's saying there in terms of going after the National, I think National Council of K Muslims, it actually is part of like the whole trajectory of how they do this stuff. And you do get into like, what is former support? Obviously, in one sense, having a speaker at your event, is a form of support for that individual in one sense, right? So now with regards to the terrorism or with regards to the charity stuff, there's some interesting dynamics on that for the Zionist groups. It's indefensible is the reality of it. When you get in, the more you get into the details of these charities and how much money that are being subsidized by all taxpayers, it's not defensible. They can't actually really defend this. The vast majority of Canadians, the more they learn about this, the more like outraged. And you don't even have to be like pro-Palestinian. You just have to be kind of like, well, why are we all subsidizing, a foreign military? I mean, it's already contrary to the CRA Act. Why are we funding a foreign municipality? That's contrary to current CRA rules. It's like, well, why would the Canadian government provide tax credits for someone giving money to some municipality in wherever, right? That's just contrary to its existing. And there's a bunch of these groups doing that to Israeli communities, including, of course, Israeli communities, in illegally occupied West Bank land. And then you get into racist organizations, then you get into West Bank settlements. So there's all these different ways in which existing Israel-focused charities are violating existing CRA rules. And so I think the kind of the problem for the Zionist groups in this campaigning that this, and it's getting more and more attention, it obviously got on the CBC just actually 2 weeks ago. Al Jazeera had a big long documentary where they deal with Canadian, they interview Miles Howe, the Just Peace Advocates sort of researcher expert on this domain. And so they get into the Canadian angle of it's mostly about the British, but they get into Canadian angle of supporting different fanatics in the Zionist fanatics in the West Bank, providing arms, providing different forms of support to them. It's indefensible. But so the smart strategy, the smart Zionist strategy is to not try to respond, is to go on the offensive and try to suggest that there's like all this like charitable donations that are going to Hamas or charitable connections to Hamas or whatever Palestinian group. In fact, when you get into it, the numbers are just like completely skewed, right? Like the rich Israeli country, Israel has a GDP per capita equal to Canada's, right? There's all this donations going to the wealthy country, let alone all the horrible crimes that Israel's committing, let alone all the ways in which a lot of this money is going directly into supporting those crimes. But like it's actually just wealthier, right? Like it doesn't, we're not subsidizing, the symphony in Sweden or in Japan. We are subsidizing the symphony in Tel Aviv and every different other hospital or university or everything you almost can think of, like as a sort of charitable type thing in Israel. There's a Canadian Friends of, to the point of the Canadian Friends of the Israeli Dog Guide Society, right? That's the one I found the most kind of like out there. But so the more you get into this question, it's just completely indefensible. It is, in my opinion, the most important form of Canadian support for Palestinian dispossession is that there's all this money every single year being funneled to Israel, subsidized by all taxpayers. Big swaths of that money is going to very odious projects. I would argue all of it shouldn't happen. Certainly all of it shouldn't be subsidized. I think if you believe in boycott, divestment, sanctions, all of it shouldn't happen, right? That would be boycotting Israel. You would be not allowing even individual privately, let alone subsidized by the taxpayer, to make those donations. But that's, you know, many, many steps from where we currently are, which is a whole taxing system. And so supportive of this taxing, you're going into the schools, all these Jewish schools, private Jewish schools that are just, you know, Zionist training grounds, that large number of them go to the Israeli camps, Jewish camps, where they bring in Israeli soldiers to talk about how wonderful the Israeli military is. All these are, they're all registered charities, right? The more you get into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these groups, some of them just focus on funneling money to Israel, and more of them focus on basically indoctrinating young, and not just young, Canadian Jews, principally, not entirely, but principally, into supporting Zionism. And so, you know, Weinstein, he's going on the offensive. I think that's the smarter strategy on their part, because you can't actually justify the ways in which the charitable groups are actually assisting genocide.
Well, it's every accusation is a confession, and that's getting pretty weary. The Al Jazeera documentary, I assume you're talking about Complicit, how the West is helping Israel seize the West Bank. When you talk about Indigo's Heather and Jerry Reisman using her own family money, well, actually, she's not using her own family money, really, is she? If it's tax subsidized to a great extent, she's using our money, not her own money, to support something like the Hesek Foundation, the loan for lone soldiers, you know, which recruits Canadians, non-Jews, and other nationals as well to go and do the killing in Palestine for the IDF.
And those numbers, it's very hard to get a sense of it because it's complex tax code kind of stuff. But according to Canadian Jewish News, the Bloomberg, up to 90%, there's this complicated, weirdly enough, mining tax credit in Ontario that if you know how to play the game with the tax code and you have the resources, you can get up to 90% of your donation to a charitable organization as a credit from your taxes. So when Heather Reisman and Jerry Schwartz have given $200 million over the past 20 years, it's possible that they've actually only given $20 million of that, and that the 180 million is paid for by all of us to have, Torontonians and Parisians go join the Israeli military. I mean, it's totally a scandal beyond belief. But that's apparently how the tax code, specifically in Ontario, I think a slightly lesser extent elsewhere, it actually works.
Oh, great. And then they come after guys, you know, working people like me. It just boils the blood. Eve, we're fast out of time. There's, as usual, there's so much more. Up at your website right now, since the article we've been talking about, you've written many more. How do you do it? I don't know. But you've got Canada Not For Sale. Let's send a message to the summit CEOs. This is about this warfare confab coming up with all these CEOs and how they can carve up Canada like an Argentinian cattle. What do whales think about Canada's $100 billion subs and the anti-war NDP would oppose $100 billion submarines, but they just won't say so, apparently. I urge everyone to go to Eve's site, eveengler.com, to read those articles and so much more that Eve has been putting out. And Eve, yeah, as I said, I was just talking to your lawyer, John Philpott, and we both agreed that you guys should keep an open line the way things are going in this country, Canada. But, and there's also the Grind TO being chased with lawfare, it seems to me, anyway, in another a defamation suit similar to the defamation against Hajamad, who is out on bail, right? He's still out.
But, he is out in bail.
Yeah. But the TPS, the Toronto Police Service, won't, because of their publication ban, they won't release the conditions of his bail, although I read somewhere else that one of them is that he stay outside of Toronto. Is he from Toronto?
I think what I saw was that he's in Mississauga, and he's, I guess he's not allowed to go into Toronto proper. That's how I read this the bit in a, I think a
Well,
blurb.
that is punishment enough, I would think, for anybody who's been to Mississauga. Sorry, Mississauga, you stink. Yeah, okay, well, that's it. That's all I got for this week. Until the next time, thanks go out to John Philpott and, of course, Eve Anglers. Thanks a lot, Eve, for coming on again, eh?
Thanks a lot for having me. Thanks. Good.
The many wars raging all around, bombs exploding in the air and on the ground. From Gaza to Sudan, Russia to Ukraine, and all the ships, drones, rockets, and planes laying waste to Persia. And who knows where the next missile goes? I look at the sidewalks where almost no one stops a moment anymore to say hello. I turn on my phone, see the insults from the trolls, and the fire is burning out of control. I go to the airport, see these days hardly anyone coming to the USA. What's on people's minds wherever I go? What's the next chapter in this shit show? It's your business.